a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The South Dakota Senate will come to order, and we are really privileged today to have, as our pastor leading us in prayer today, is Pastor Wes LaBrie from Union Center. He is actually Senator Roden's pastor and a friend of a number of us. And also leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's flag are two of our pages from this term, Alexis Schubert from the great city of Sisseton and J.C. Jessup from long away, the super city of Pierre.
I'd like to thank you folks for praying for the people in our community that had such tremendous loss from the storm of October. And I'm just humbled and grateful to be here with you. And thank you for your support. Let's pray. Father God, it's just with grateful hearts that we continue to be needy, because in our need we can draw upon you. Thank you so much for being the one that leads and guides and establishes us as a people. May each of us lean on you in discernment and wisdom to know the right things to do and to give you the honor and the glory. And we know that you are the giver of life, and for that we are so grateful. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish even today through the decisions that are made. And I just thank you that we serve a great country. Lord, my heart is so thankful for our veterans and our soldiers. And as I walked down memory lane here in the hall and saw those that have given their lives so that we could have what we have, we're truly humbled and grateful. And I just thank you that you have established America and that you will keep us. And so may we trust you completely, even today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will call the roll, please.
Bagalka, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Donnell, Curd, Ewing, Frericks, Heineman, Holeen, Hunhoff, Jensen, Chuck Jones, Tom Jones, Kirkaby, Krebs, Lederman, Lucas, Maher, Monroe, Nordstrup, Amdahl, Otten, Peters, Rampelberg, Rave, Roden, Soholt, Solano, Sutton, Tiedemann, Thiessen, Van Gerpen, Valley, Welke, White. Quorum present, Mr. President.
Thank you. Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 13th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully, Corey Brown, Chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Well, it's so great to have you all visiting here. We're going to press the pause button and not only welcome all of you here, but welcome those who are watching live stream and also listening over the internet. It is a privilege for us to have you in the South Dakota Senate, and especially the students, as they're exposed to this great opportunity of self-governance. I'd also like to, on behalf of the South Dakota Senate, commend you on your intellect. You had a choice between the House and the Senate. You made the right choice. And we have a number of educators here today and other people that we'd like to individually recognize on behalf of various senators. First of all, I'm going to pick on the great folks from Habitat for Humanity who are here statewide, obviously in the green shirts, for all their hard work, but also want to do, as the young people do, a shout-out to Patty. Patty Bacon there. Patty is the executive director, and as a result of her hard work and everyone's work, really led with Senator Brown and all of you the efforts under Senate Bill 235 and received a national award for the Housing Opportunity Fund. And we are nothing if we don't have a place to live, and so thank you so much. Congratulations. Habitat for Humanity. So outstanding. Just tremendous. On behalf of Senator Brown, we want to welcome the senior government classes from Eureka and Bowdell and their instructors Bob Bellotto and Rick Garreau. Where are you folks? Oh, excellent. Welcome. We saw a big celebration downstairs with the governor awarding career and technical education grants for a number of reasons that was held today, but also because of his passion and obviously growing up in technical experiences and jobs himself. Today we have the Senate shadows representing the FFA, Skills USA, FCCLA, FBLA, all career and technical education organizations. So would you young people please stand? Are they here? There we go. That's impressive. And we have the Faith High School government students on behalf of Senators Maher and an older Senator Roden. It's Senator Roden's birthday today, and amazingly enough, it's Senator Roden's sister's birthday as well. They're twins, so it's coincidental, I guess. We'll get to that a little later, but we have the Faith High School government students with the teacher Deanna Fishbach and Superintendent Kelly Daughters. It's great to be with you today. Please stand. Where are they?
Mr. President, they were there to be here for another half.
They made an error. Yeah, they Okay, well, we'll do a shout-out to you and the birthday girl. Happy birthday to you and to Lori. And it's coincidental. It's the 15th anniversary of your 40th birthday, right? Well, my executive assistant is a twin, and her brother always calls her wombmate, but that's too bizarre for me to even say publicly.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was the originator of that.
Oh, you
comment.
Were, yeah, of course. Senator Roden.
Personal privilege.
Granted,
Mr.
Sir.
President. Thank you, Mr. President. Well, as long as we're on the subject of me, I will take the advantage of a personal privilege. I have the privilege of having my better half, my much, much better half, my wife of 30-some years. I won't get specific because I'll be wrong, but thank you for joining me. Sandy, where you at? Thanks for joining me. Please help me welcome her.
Senator Roden, I also wish to mention I received an email from little legislators from Arleta wishing you a happy birthday, too. I know you've been very involved in that program, and our little legislators will show up later. But in this day and age of email, I want you to know that. At this time, I have, in addition to all these fabulous people, to introduce award winners that we're recognizing today through their professions. And I'm going to have them all stand as I read off their name individually. But these are the Outstanding School Administrators for 2014, and they're right above me in more ways than one. We have Tim Raby, who is a secondary principal at Atlantic School District. Tim Kohler, middle school principal at Harrisburg. Kristen Hammond, the special education director at Harrisburg. Jeff Ward, curriculum director at Meade. Georgia Sandgren, general business manager at Black Hills Special Services Corporation. Tanya Peterson, elementary principal in Harrisburg. Mr. Al Lieber, superintendent from Dakota Valley. And Jim Sayer, assistant secondary principal in Spearfish. Thank you for what you do for our kids, and especially to your organizations, recognizing how outstanding you really are. Our outstanding school administrators. Trying to figure out why Mr. Lieber's wearing a purple tie. It might have something to do with school colors, right? That's excellent. Senator Lucas, thank you.
Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of Senator Sutton, I would like the body to recognize the very resourceful superintendent of the Andes School District, Deb Lucas.
Oh, related? Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
For the young people here who have ever been incarcerated in schools for spitballs, she is very well located for a direct trajectory on somebody she's related to. So that's not that I would know anything about that, but any other personal privileges? I know we have other folks coming in, and so we'll take a break there. Especially for our students, we open up with a lot of what we call housekeeping items, reports and items. A lot of it's due to the fact that our Constitution requires us to do it. We could report it on computers now, but in 1889, for some reason, we didn't have computers. So we'll be reading this and going through our agenda as we go through, and certain items I'll point out as we go. So again, it's a real privilege for us to have you here today. We're moving on to communications and petitions.
To the Honorable Matt Michaels, President of the Senate. Dear Mr. President and members of the Senate, pursuant to the provisions of SDCL 2413-1 and subject to your confirmation, the court has appointed Kevin J. Krull, an attorney from Sturgis, South Dakota, to the Board of Pardons and Paroles. Also, the court has reappointed K.F. Nicholas, an attorney from Siston, South Dakota, to the Board of Pardons and Paroles. Also, the court has reappointed David L. Nelson, attorney from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to the Board of Pardons and Paroles. We will await your advice as to the Senate's action with regard to these appointments. Thank you for your continued cooperation. Sincerely, Shirley A. Jameson Fergal, Clerk of the Supreme Court.
The appointment of Kevin Krull is referred to Judiciary Committee for consideration of advice and consent. K. Nicholas and David Nelson referred to Judiciary Committee. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Local Government reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 91 and recommends due pass, Senate Bills 68 and 82 and recommends due pass consent, and Senate Bill 105, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Kirkaby, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services reports that it has had under consideration House Bill 1025 and recommends due pass, House Bill 1044 and recommends due pass consent, and Senate Bill 123, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Hunhoff, Chair. The Committee on Transportation reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 103 and recommends due pass, and Senate Bill 95 and recommends due pass consent. Senator Valley, Chair. The Committee on State Affairs reports that it has had under consideration House Bill 1047 and recommends due pass consent, and Senate Bill 127 and recommends due pass amended. Senator Roden, Chair. The Committee on Taxation reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bills 98 and House Bill 1070 and recommends due pass, House Bill 1057 and recommends due pass consent, and Senate Bill 83, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Otten, Chair.
I just received a couple of other welcomes, and I don't know if these folks are here, but the realtors, and maybe they've just, Realtors Association, have they moved over? Okay, tonight, of course, they're having their reception, and obviously part of housing as well as the other folks, so we'll thank them when we see them tonight. On behalf of Senator Frerichs, we have the Langford Senior Government Class and Mr. Taylor Rentz. Is that right? Langford. Oh, welcome. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you, Taylor.
Messages, please.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit with transmit herewith HCR 1010, which has been adopted by the House, and your concurrence is respectfully requested. Also, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bills 1019, 1058, 1069, 1074, 1076, 1080, 1081, 1084, 1086, 1087, 1092, 1094, and 1118, which have passed the House, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Arlene Kavislin, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions, please.
Senator Rabe moves that Senate Bill 106 be deferred to Monday, February 10th, the 17th legislative day.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Senator Brown moves that Senate Bill 146 be referred from the Committee on Transportation to the Committee on State Affairs.
All those in favor of that re-referral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Are they referred or what? Okay. And being put on for tomorrow? Yeah, we do both, yeah.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 1, a concurrent resolution urging Congress to reject the proposal to remove the state's authority to designate a hospital as a necessary provider under the Critical Access Hospital Program. House Concurrent Resolution Number 1010, a concurrent resolution requesting the Committee on Government Operations and Audit to conduct hearings relating to the operation of the Governor's Office of Economic Development.
Waiver of referral to committees for both SCR 1 and 1010. SCR 1 will be put on tomorrow's calendar, as will House Concurrent Resolution 1010. Consideration of committee reports.
Senator Rabe moves that the report of the Standing Committee on Education on Senate Bill 113 as found on page 193 of the Senate Journal be adopted.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We have the first reading of House bills. We need to do that, and in fact, our secretary will read these publicly. Again, it's for the reason that it's required under the Constitution. It used to be people would sit up where you were at, and they'd keep track of the bill number and the name and what committee is going to be heard so people could keep track of them. Obviously, like I've said, we put that into the computer, but we need to still comply. So our secretary will read those now, both our team. They'll do it at the same time just to get through it. It doesn't really matter now since we do have it on the computer. Please proceed.
House Bill 1092, an act to require that crematories be under the direction of licensed funeral establishments and funeral directors. House Bill 1094, an act to prohibit a person from interfering with the public safety answering point. House Bill 1019, an act to provide certain provisions regarding the requirements for post-secondary institutions to participate in a multi-state state authorization reciprocity agreement for distance education activities. House Bill 1080, an act to clarify that emergency personnel driving records are not to include motor vehicle accidents resulting while engaged in the performance of their official duties. House Bill 1084, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the list of persons who may be excluded from a licensed gaming establishment and to provide a penalty for a violation of the exclusion. House Bill 1081, an act to revise the computation of the promotional fee on wheat.
Thank you. President announces the following assignments of these House bills. House Bills 1076 and 1081, Agriculture and Natural Resources. Commerce receives House Bill 1080, 1084, Education 1019, Health and Human Services 1092, 1094, Judiciary 1118. Local Government, House Bills 1074, 1087. The President Pro Tem assigns House Bill 1086 to State Affairs and 1058 and House Bill 1069 to Taxation. First reading of Senate bills. Excuse me, we're on to consent calendar. Our consent calendar are bills that were non-controversial, and there's a procedure we have in our committees that these bills can be brought down by unanimous consent. There's some other criteria. Any individual, though, senator can pull a bill, and we have one of those today, and so they'll be debated tomorrow. We do it as efficiency for non-controversial type of legislation. Questions may be asked of the sponsors of the bills, but we vote on them together. And again, it's efficiency so we can move through non-controversial bills and get to what we call our debate calendar. So our consent calendar, please.
Senator Brown requested that House Bill 1061 be removed from the consent calendar. Senate Bill 78, an act to repeal certain outdated and obsolete provisions regarding the Commissioner of South Dakota. Senate Bill 79, an act to repeal certain outdated and obsolete provisions regarding the federal census. House Bill 1032, an act to revise certain provisions regarding children placed in residential treatment centers or intensive residential treatment centers.
Thank you, ma'am. Senate Bill 7879 and House Bill 1032, having received a second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Senators, have any questions on any of these bills? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 7879 and House Bill 1032. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, call the roll, please.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell.
Aye.
Kurd.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Chuck Jones.
Aye.
Tom Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you. Senate Bill 78, 79, and House Bill 1032, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, are all hereby declared passed. Any questions on any of these titles? Titles are approved then. Thank you. Onto our debate calendar, the second reading of the Senate bills.
Senate Bill 84, an act to update certain statutes relating to notification of certain transfers.
Thank you. Senate Bill 84, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Peters, good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senate Bill 84 is an act to update the statutes relating to the notification of financial transfers within the appropriations process. With the dawn of the technology, we can update the process that Bureau of Finance and Management goes through in reporting to the Appropriations Committee on how we keep track of money being transferred between departments and between agencies. So, therefore, we're striking the language on page 2, lines 5 and 6, and inserting on page 2, lines 6 and 7, an effort to streamline the process of all parties involved in relating to the transfers of money authorized by the section and that is approved, and the Bureau should transmit certain authorization notices to our legislative research's fiscal staff. And so with that, I'll stand by for any questions and appreciate your favorable support on Senate Bill 84.
Thank you, ma'am. Further remarks on Senate Bill 84? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 84. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Bogalka. Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell.
Aye.
Kurd.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Chuck Jones.
Aye.
Tom Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you, ma'am. Senate Bill 84, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on any of this titles? Thanks. Approved.
Senate Bill 74, an act to provide for the consideration of joint physical custody of a minor.
Thank you. Senate Bill 74, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Lederman, good afternoon.
Mr. President and members of the Senate, thank you. Senate Bill 74 is an act to provide for the consideration of joint physical custody of a minor. What this bill does is it sets out to change the way our courts decide on custody cases by giving judges direction into how they set out and looking at what's in the best interest of the child. Now, over the last few years, we've had the debate about what is the best interest of the child. And one side has said that it's having equal time with both parents, while the other side says let the judge decide without giving them boundaries. And the main problem that we've seen over the last few years as we've revisited the issue is the inconsistency in the rulings in the state. A divorce or a child custody hearing in one side of the state may be extremely different than the outcome in another part of the state. With that, the groups that have normally battled came together over the last year with a bill that they felt served the best interest of the child and also the rights of the children and the parents involved. Senate Bill 74 changes the way that we do things by moving from case law, which is the Furstenberg law case that is usually used by judges, where they look at 12 factors, that was decided by the Furstenberg case many years ago with two parents that actually lived 300 miles apart. So up till now, if this bill passes and it changes, we've decided basically on one case and using those factors to make a determination on where the child would live and for how long. The default setting on that goes to the primary caregiver. So in that situation, a custodial parent would have the child for 26 out of the 30 days, and then the 4 days, the non-custodial parent would have the child. The people who have criticized the law have said that have brought forth the idea of equal time sharing. And equal time sharing, also shared parenting, sets to try and have a 50-50 split when there's fit parents involved so that the child has time with both parents. Well, in the past, we've set our sights on rebuttable presumption of equal time sharing, and that just didn't sell here in this body or in the House. So what we set out was a compromise. And I have to commend the Bar, because the Bar Association, who has usually been the opponent of the bills in the past, wrote a bill that was based on Iowa law and brought to us a bill that does a few things. And I'll just quickly go through what the bill does. First of all, it says that in any custody dispute, when one parent requests a joint physical custody arrangement, the judge has to look at the case, consider it, and write a conclusion of facts and findings as to why they are either doing it or not doing it. Those factors were brought forth by the bar and are based on Iowa's law. And when they first came in, we had about 8 or 9 factors. Well, the shared parenting group added their touch to it. And one of the main things that they were upset about that was addressed in the provisions was the issue of parental alienation. Too many times one parent wants to keep the children from the other parent as some type of retribution. And so that's one of the factors that when the judge is deciding what's in the best interest of the child, they will address and they will also put in their conclusion of facts and findings. The other provision that was brought up by the shared parenting group was that of false allegations of abuse. Many times in custody cases, there's false allegations against one parent, whether they did something to the child or not. And what happens is that gives them a leg up in the proceedings, which pretty much just hands them, the person making the false allegations, the custody of the children. The last part of the bill, after the factors are met and addressed, one of the provisions that always struck a chord here in this body was that it was retroactive, or if it wasn't retroactive, is this going to open up a flood of custody cases? Well, in Section 7 of the bill, it states, the enactment of this act does not constitute a substantial change in circumstances justifying the modification of existing custody orders, but the provisions of this act shall apply to modification proceedings which are otherwise properly before the court. What this says is, if you were divorced or had a custody case when a child was, let's say, a baby, but now that child is going to school, and that constitutes a significant change in the custody situation of the child. Then before the court, the trial bench would actually be able to use the new law to decide on the custody arrangements. So it doesn't block out any retroactive actions, but it does limit the amount of new cases that would be considered. Again, I think I feel is a very balanced approach. You all might be thinking, well, why are we changing this? And I just want to touch on the social science behind this. Over and over again, we hear about studies. One of them had over 800 students from the University of Arizona, where the social science shows that children who have the impact of both parents in their lives lead much better lives, have a lot less likely of suicide, run-ins with the law. Those studies that we see over and over again are much different than the way we felt in 1970s. 30 years ago, the consensus was the child needs to be with one parent after a custody battle. So the pendulum has actually swung. Instead of this bill changing the culture of South Dakota, I believe that it actually reacts to how the culture has already changed. Also, I want to point out that too many times when we discuss child custody, we focus on the rights of the mother or the father, and what we really forget is the rights of the children. And I truly believe that in custody situations, children should have the ability to spend as much time as possible, maximize that time with fit parents. So, in summary, I believe that even though this may not be a silver bullet, perfect fix for custody cases in South Dakota, it definitely moves the ball forward. And I respectfully ask for your favorable vote on Senate Bill 74.
Thank you, Senator Lederman. Further remarks on Senate Bill 74? Well, good afternoon, Senator Buell O'Donnell. Thank you.
Good afternoon, sir, and members of the body. Will I rise in support of this bill? I realize that I have been pretty outspoken on previous bills in the past, and I wanted to share some thoughts on why I see this as a really different approach, which I really appreciate from the senator from Dakota Dunes. I've gotten a lot of emails over the past few years as we've been having this conversation on this policy in the legislature, and I've heard from folks sharing their individual situations and their thoughts on why their individual parenting situation works or doesn't work. And I think that that is a testament to the fact that sometimes parents can work together, and then when that happens, shared parenting really can work. That's always been my position. My concern has always been and will always be with what's in the best interest of the child and these being taken on a case-by-case basis. My concerns previously have been that it's sort of a one-size-fits-all approach, changing the fundamental presumption of what is first considered in our judicial system when there are contested custody cases. But the reason I can support this bill is because that remains in place. That the first thing the judge considers, even as we're adding these things in law for what we're hoping that they consider and what these guidelines are, their ultimate consideration is still what's in the best interest of the child as it should be. The process laid out in this bill really maintains that, and that's why I really urge the body to support this bill as part of a compromise that I really hope moves the conversation forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senate Bill 74. Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I'd just like to comment briefly because I think this is a testimony, this bill, to the process we go through. And those of us that have been here for a number of years and dealt with this issue, I think there's a good lesson to be learned. Because sometimes we get pretty tired of the process and getting beat up on an individual piece of legislation and even get a little angry at people for bringing the same bill forward year after year. Well, this is a great lesson because I think what we've seen demonstrated today is what can come from conversation if we're willing to keep pushing the ball forward and urging the people involved to come to reconcile their differences and resolve their differences in the best interest of what's in this case the best interest of the child. And so coming to this legislative session, I didn't expect to be supporting this legislation. I have to give kudos to the senator that brought this bill forward again and commend his persistence and the process that we went through, and I think this is a demonstration of good legislation and also a good lesson to our constituency, who tend, just like us as human beings, to get wrapped around the axle on specific issues and get their feet planted in cement and judge legislators based on their, you know, their persistent caution in dealing with matters like this, and to judge them harshly when I think that it's clear that we truly want to do what's best for our children in this case. And I think this this legislation was a good process, and it's a good compromise, and I'd urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Roden. Further remarks? Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the Senate. Well, as most of you know, I'd been one of the opponents previously of this type of legislation. But I want to commend the Senator from Lincoln and Union County and for the State Bar for getting together, and it wasn't easy because they had to come from two completely different thought presses, two different arenas to come together. And I want to, and there were others that were involved in that process. And I know others have spoke about this, but that's a very difficult process to do and the accomplishment, and it was not amended in committee. There are 14 different factors. If you read through them, they're all the way from the simple one that a judge would have to consider, and that's appropriate housing, to the one that's a little more difficult, which is whether both parents show mutual respect and effectively communicate with each other. And if one isn't, that's part of the judge's decision. Paramount also is the best interest of the child. And in this, the judge still makes the decision. But he's got to do it according to those 14 things that were listed. And the other part of those 14 issues that are listed that I like, it kind of gives you a guideline. If you want to have the maximum time with your child, you best better be communicating with your partner, and you best better be listening and working with that partner for the best interest of the child, because it's going to be taken into consideration. So I think this is best maybe not only for the child, but it's going to be best for the parents. So I really urge your support. Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Valley. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 74. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Pagalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holine. Hunhoff,
aye.
Jensen,
aye.
Chuck Jones,
aye.
Tom Jones,
aye.
Kirkaby,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Lucas,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Norstrup,
aye.
Amdahl,
aye.
Otten,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Soholt,
aye.
Solano,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Teason,
aye.
Van Gerpen,
aye.
Welke, Valley, I'm sorry, Valley,
aye.
Welke,
aye.
White,
aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Senate Bill 74, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on this title? Title's approved. On behalf of Senator Maher and Roden, we have the faith. High school, there's their senior government class, their government students. Teacher is Deanna Fishbach, see there, and Superintendent Kelly Daughters. We're really grateful that you're here. We've had the opportunity to be with you, too. And on behalf of Senator Roden and Senator Maher, but especially all of us, we thank you for being here, but especially for your instructors to take the time to bring you to see your Senate. Second reading of House bills.
Senator Rabe moves that the balance of the calendar, including House Bills 1046 and 1049, be deferred to Thursday, February 6th, the 15th legislative day.
Aye. All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. South Dakota Constitution requires that the presiding officer, in this case the president, sign bills that have passed both the House and the Senate and announce the title and their number in open session as I sign it. The president of the Senate is now signing an act to provide certain provisions relating to the executive branch internship program. That's House Bill 1035. That is the conclusion of today's business, so we'll take announcements. Thank you. Senator Peters, thank you.
Thank you. I just want to remind the Appropriations Committee, we do have appropriations meeting to finish up this morning's calendar as far as the Dakota State University and wrap up with the Board of Regents. So report to the Appropriations Suite immediately following the adjournment of session.
Thank you. Further announcements? Any other announcements? Senator Welke.
Personal privilege?
Granted, sir.
I have a special visitor in the Capitol that I would like to recognize. Would that be okay? He is not here in a physical sense, but he's here in a spiritual sense, along with 34 of his finest friends and associates. You won't see them stand in the audience, but they all stand tall and proud in what they did for America. They're on the banners in the hallways downstairs, and I would ask that you take a stroll down the hall and pay tribute to our falling heroes. Would you stand with me now and applaud our falling heroes from the conflicts of Iran and Afghanistan.
As with the students I met with today and those that I hadn't, I'd like for you, before we adjourn, to take a look out here, in addition to what Senator Welke said, and he was an instructor, he was a teacher in government. But as you look, based on this, you have veterans, you have farmers, ranchers, businesswomen, businessmen, you have people of different abilities and backgrounds, they're citizens. And I'd like for you to just snapshot, since you won't be back for a while, but snapshot and take a look at, really, it is a reflection that citizens are called. Not people from dictatorships, not people from a lot of money, not people from political dynasties, but citizens from all corners of the state. And the people that put this government together, along with the defending of the freedoms that we have, result in this body. And so if you just take a mental snapshot of that, it struck me when I was your age that that was pretty powerful. And something crazy can happen that I can be the lieutenant governor, you could do this as well. So I'd like for you to just concentrate on that. And again, students, especially your instructors, thank you for bringing you to your Capitol for that experience. Any other personal privileges, announcements? Okay. Madam Secretary, you're in the barrel.
Senator Kirkaby moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.